It's a costly theme, surrender, and we've been looking at it now for around 6 weeks, a couple of weeks left to go, and I think it's really important that we've looked at it. It's important that we look at the areas in our lives that we haven't yet surrendered to God, that he may be asking us to surrender over to him, to hand to him and to trust him with. It's challenging stuff, so hopefully this morning you're going to be challenged. I know that when I was writing this stuff, I've been challenged, and I'm hoping to be challenged again this morning. Remember, with everything to do with surrender, 1 Corinthians is really clear that if we just surrender things, if we surrender everything we have, if we surrender our body but we don't love, then we're nothing anyway, we gain nothing. So we know that we're a church who loves, we're a church who puts love at the forefront. We've got the ripple effect there on the wall of loving God, loving ourselves and loving our neighbour as ourselves. And that's so important. But surrender can't be ignored just because love's important. We need to make sure that we look at the things that God's asking us to surrender. And remember, as I spoke last time on this subject, I said that we're not surrendering to the enemy, so it's not a position of weakness, it's a position of strength as we surrender to our own king. When I was looking at dictionary definitions, this is just a reminder again. Surrender, in one of them, says this: it means to relinquish possession or control to another, or to submit to the power and authority of another. So if that was a Christian definition, let me just put God in there. To surrender means to relinquish possession or control to God, and to submit to the power and authority of God. That's what we want to do. I want us to have a look, first of all, at the first verse of Romans 12. And I'm going to begin by saying it from a version that we know quite well, the NIV, and you may be familiar with these words if you've been around church at all. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And now I'd just like to read it to you from the Message, so it just gives us a slightly different slant. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And today I want to look at some of the ways, maybe two, maybe four, of the ways that we can give God everything, that we can surrender him our lives, we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And I want to attempt to do this around the lives of four different Bible characters. I'd like to look at Mary, then Peter, then Joseph, then Abraham. And from their lives, just look at areas of surrender. I want to look at the fact that each of them had to definitely surrender parts of their lives to God and under his authority. And I want this to have a profound impact on our lives. This isn't a history lesson. This is alive. This is the word of God. So let's pray, and then let's have a look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you, Jesus, that you held nothing back from us. You surrendered everything to us, and we want to be a people, your perfect bride, your beautiful church, who surrenders everything back to you. Lord, help us to be a people who don't hold anything back. Lord, open our hearts to what you want to say to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1, from verse 26. Luke 1, 26 to 38. And from Mary's story, I wanted to look at surrendering who you are and surrendering your agenda. Good. Thank you, Aria. Okay, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I think this is an incredible story, and we normally only hear that bit read around Christmas time. Here's this young girl, Mary, who's engaged to be married. She's a young woman with her future ahead of her, and she is marrying into good stock. She's marrying Joseph, who is from the line of David. This is a very good ancestral line, and that's very important in the nation of Israel. That was an important thing. She was going to be marrying this guy. They may have grown up together. They may have got on really well, and she may have been really looking forward to it. I think it's really interesting that when I compare her response to the one of Moses that we've looked at quite a lot recently, there's such a stark contrast. Do you remember when Moses and the burning bush, and God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and Moses comes up with his list, doesn't he? Don't send me. I can't speak. I've never been good with words. I don't know what to say. Could you please send somebody else? Lord, do send somebody else. And in the end, God keeps answering him, and helping him to move forward into that. Mary, her response, one quick qualifying question. How's that going to be? Because I haven't slept with anyone. Here's the answer. Okay, let it be to me as you've said. I'm the Lord's servant. Let's do this. I'm ready. She surrendered her agenda for her life. She would have known that she risked being ostracized from her community. This is not 1940s Britain, where it may have been a problem. This is not 2016, where a young girl being pregnant may not have been noticed. This was 2,000 years ago in a country that had very strict rules about these kind of things. She risked being ostracized. She wasn't married, and yet she was just about to say that she was pregnant. And she was about to say, but it's God's baby. I haven't slept with anybody. God did it. Can you imagine? But she just said, let it be to me as you have said. She risked everything. What are we prepared to risk? Are we prepared to surrender our agenda on our lives for God's plan for us? I know that when Nikki and I stepped out of our teaching careers, onto our faith adventure of setting up the charity, which ultimately would lead to us leading the church here. We did it because we believe God asked us to. But it was really painful because I loved teaching. I loved it. It was amazing. And I loved the students. I loved being ahead of year. I loved going to work. I loved 13 weeks off per year as well. But it was... then I was a PE teacher. What's not to love? Out. Wide. That's my summer term done. No, I'm only joking. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. Thanks, Aria, for laughing. I loved it. And I remember when I was saying goodbye that final day, I did an assembly, I got the year group to all sing. It was brilliant. We were having such fun. And I cried all the way home so hard that I had to pull over because I couldn't really see where I was driving because I was so sad to be leaving that amazing time in my life. What did we risk? We risked a few things. Rejection from Nikki's family, a little bit. An ability to pay any money into our pensions. The biggest risk was probably losing our house if no money came in. But that was okay. God called us and we were up for that. Mary risked an awful lot more than that. And we'd been dreaming of doing this for years, even though it was a scary step. Mary, she was just going about her normal business and God just came and intervened in her life. And she was completely willing to do what God had asked her to do. I think it's absolutely amazing. And so I want to challenge us and challenge me. Is there anything that God could be asking us to surrender today? God may ask us to do something that takes us away from how we expected things to look. He may ask us to do something that makes us look different in the eyes of our friends and family compared to how we'd have liked it to look. How much do the opinions of others matter to you? Because for Mary, God's opinion was definitely the one that trumped everything else. Bad word to use, isn't it, at the moment? Trump. Let's go for another one. Yes. Once again, one of those moments where it just popped in there and I said it and probably shouldn't have. It's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters. It just popped in there. So surrendering your agenda can be scary, but it can open your life to a world of opportunity. And God wants us to have a world of opportunity ahead of us. And so we need to be ready to surrender our own agenda, not just a one-off in life, but to keep surrendering and saying, yes, Lord, your will over mine. Whoever I thought I might be one day, I can hand that over to you because I'm safe in your hands, and I would rather be who you're asking me to be than anybody else in the world. Oh, we're easily going to get through them. This is good. Number two, surrendering what you have. Peter's story. I've loved looking at this part of the story this week. It's been amazing. Let's have a look together in Matthew 4 from verse 18 to 20, if you've got your Bibles. Once again, I'm going to read it to you if you haven't, so don't worry. Matthew 4, 18 to 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and for today I'm going to call him Peter because it removes the confusion. He changed his name. Jesus changed his name throughout the along the journey. But for today, we'll say Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. I'm always amazed at the speed at which they responded there. And yet we know that it can still happen just as fast today. When God calls us, if you don't know God and he calls you, the response is, oh, I'm in. Yep, I'm following. I'll drop everything and follow you, Jesus. Now, these guys had a business. They were not subsistence fishermen. They had an industry of fishing. They were commercial fishermen. They weren't just feeding to fish their families. This was how they raised their income. This was their job. But when Jesus said, come and follow me, they were prepared to leave the things they owned, their livelihoods, and follow Jesus. Would we be prepared to if Jesus called? Now, I know that we've taught a lot here about the Jewish system of education, about going through, the young boys would come through, learn all the traditions of the Torah and learn how to recite it and memorize it, and the cream of the crop may serve under a rabbi and one day become a rabbi. But one of the things that I found out this week really blew me away, and I found it amazing. These guys growing up who wanted to be under a rabbi were called the Talmidim, or disciples in Hebrew. And the way it would normally work is that the Talmidim would approach a rabbi and say, I'd like to follow you, or similar language, can I follow you? And the rabbi would make a decision as to whether or not that person could follow them. And it was based on representation. It was based on whether the rabbi thought that this person can fully represent me. They can come, live with me, be like me, adopt everything about me, represent me fully to the world. And so the rabbi would then make a decision based on whether they wanted this disciple to follow them. Very occasionally, a rabbi would headhunt a Talmidim. And this is what Jesus is doing here. But he's not just headhunting the cream of the crop. He's gone out and he's headhunted Peter and Andrew, who are working in a boat. And the rabbi has said to them, come and follow me. That's an unusual way round. And I love it because I think it's Jesus saying, I see in you, in my strength, the fact that you are going to be able to represent me. You are going to be able to walk with me, learn from me, be like me, be my hands and my feet to the world out there. I believe in you, so you need to believe in you. Follow me, learn from me, and become like me. Sometimes we can think it's not surprising that the guys dropped everything and followed Jesus. What an honor to be chosen by the rabbi. Well, Jesus is still in the business of choosing his Talmidim today, his disciples. He chooses us. Today he looks at you, and today he looks at me, and he looks at those of us who don't yet know him, who are just checking things out in this room today, and he says to you, and he says to me, follow me. Follow me. I believe in you. You can do it. In my strength, you can represent me to the world. You can become like me. I also then want to take us a few steps further in Peter's life. Past the point where it's all new and exciting, people are being healed, things are happening, people are being delivered, it's amazing. Past the points where he's starting to realize that there's some persecution around and not everybody loves what Jesus is doing. past the point where Peter even, where he denies that he even knows Jesus on three occasions. I don't even know who this guy is. Leave me out of it. Past the point where he watches his rabbi, who he's lived with for 3 years, being executed in the most painful way possible. Past the point where he's met him once after the resurrection. To the very end of the book of John. It's an amazing story of forgiveness and setting Peter back on track. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus sees Peter fishing again. He's gone back to the old business. And Jesus has this conversation with him. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then Jesus says again, Peter, do you love me? He's like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, I do love you. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? And then Peter's starting to get upset. He's like, Lord, why do you keep asking? You know I love you. And then he says, feed my sheep again. And I think it's an amazing story of grace that Jesus was denied 3 times by Peter and then gave Peter 3 opportunities to say, I love you, and to put the record straight and to begin on the journey again. I love that story about Jesus. And then here's the bit. Jesus said, feed my sheep 3rd time. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. It's amazing. I've never noticed that Peter was called twice. I've never really seen that. And I imagine if Jesus said to him, with a hand out like that, with his arms out, when you're old, your arms are going to be outstretched, and the holes would have been still in Jesus' hands, whether Peter would have clocked, following you is going to cost me my life. I believe he knew what he was signing up for. And Jesus said to him, follow again. The first time it must have been exciting for Peter. This was a different decision. This was, I'm going to follow you if it costs me everything. But he still decided to follow. He still decided to give everything for Jesus. He didn't say, Lord, that's too high a price. I loved you. It's been a good 3 years. I'm happy to tell people about you who sort of come in the area. But Lord, I don't want to die. I don't want to die for this stuff. Jesus said, follow me. And Peter once again gave up everything and followed him. I want to pause here because I think this is really, really important for many of us here in this room, that many of us feel disqualified. And I feel that our Father in heaven today wants to say over each of us, you are not disqualified, you are qualified. It doesn't matter how many times you've let me down, it doesn't matter. I'm a redemptive God. I'm a God who loves to pour out my grace and forgiveness. You can do it. He says to us all today, come and follow me. What may make us feel disqualified this morning? Some of the things we've done. I know I've struggled. I struggled when I came out of university about some of the things that I did, my lifestyle that wasn't right. But I know God has forgiven me and I've got through that stuff. But sometimes the enemy can whisper in your ear, you're not qualified to do all this stuff for Jesus. Because if everyone knew what you'd done, then they wouldn't think you're the person you are today. Jesus qualifies you, and your actions from the past do not disqualify you. You may feel disqualified because you've got a lack of belief, a lack of faith that God can do it. That is not a disqualifier. You may feel inadequate. That is not a disqualifier. You may feel unworthy to be all that Jesus has for you. That is not a disqualifier. You may feel that there are things you've said and things you've done that have really let Jesus down. You're in good company here with a couple of Peters at least, but the one from the Bible let Jesus down terribly. Jesus loved him and said, follow me. I believe in you still. Don't allow the enemy to disqualify somebody who the Lord calls qualified. Jesus asks this of you and me. Do you love me? And when we've replied, yeah, you know I love you, Lord, he asks us again, do you love me? Do you love me? He'll keep asking it until everything is covered, all of your past misdemeanors, and we just need to say to him, yes, Lord, I do. I do love you. I really do. He says to us, I chose you, like Peter in the beginning of the story, and I still choose you. He says, I chose you then, and I still choose you now. We are chosen by the God who loves us. I'm going to ask a quick question. AP, sorry, mate, at what time will that slide go up to collect children? It's going to be soon, isn't it? So, what I'll do, I think, is do this in two halves. We'll do Joseph and Abraham some other time, but I haven't finished just yet because I want to read to you the lyrics of a song that we used to sing here in Skylight Church when we were CGC, a song that Nikki wrote years ago called I Surrender All. And it was this first verse that gave me what I wanted to talk on for Mary and Peter. It says this, and we're going to sing it over you in just a moment. All that I am, all that I've ever been, all that I'm hoping to become, Mary. All that I have, all that I'm living for, all that I've said and that I've done, Peter. I lay it down. I give it up. I lay it down before your throne of love. I surrender all, every part of me. Take my life and make it what you will. I surrender all, leave it at your feet, so that I'll be ready when you call. I surrender all. And then verse 2, to give you a little insight into what may be coming next time you see me. All of my dreams, all of my hopes and fears, the disappointments and the tears, Joseph. The things I love, the things I'm clinging to, all that I've cherished through the years, Abraham. I lay it down, I give it up. I lay it down before your throne of love. You're qualified, and God has a plan and purpose for your life. He loves you, but he wants access all areas. Access all areas, not just access 50% to 98%. What areas is God asking for this morning? He wants you and me to surrender our agendas and say, Lord, your way, not my way. And when he calls, we want to be a people who say, I'll follow. I'll follow. My past does not hold me captive. I'm ready to move into the new. So we're going to sing this song now. If you were around when it was written in 2004, you'll probably want to join in. But for the rest of us, why don't you allow these words to wash over you? They'll be on the screen if you want to join in. But I think that... Thanks, Mike. Make this our prayer this morning. Shall we make it our prayer? That we want to be a people who surrender everything to God, to lay it down, because he laid down everything for us. I want to say this too. If you don't yet know Jesus, he's saying to you this morning, come and follow me. Come and follow me. I've got a hope and a future for you. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. Will you drop everything and come and give your life to me? Because I'll transform it completely. And you'll be living the life that you were designed to live. If you want to talk some more about that, then come and find me at the end. I'd love to chat with you and tell you some more about Jesus, my best friend, my Savior and my Lord, my King. He's amazing. You should get to know him. Become.
All of my dreams.
All of my dreams.
All of my hopes and fears. The disappointments and the tears. All that I love.
Lord, we thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. And Lord, we thank you that it's sometimes challenging. And Lord, we accept the challenge. We want to be those who are willing to say, may it be to me as you wish, as you command. Lord, we're not going to try and back out, excuse our way out, be scared of what people think of us. We want to be the people you've called us to be. And Lord, I thank you that you called us once and said, follow me. And for some of us, today's the first day. And for some of us, you said it a long time ago, but you continue to say it because you continue to believe in us. And we thank you for that, Lord. May we learn to be amazing disciples. May we learn to be those who reflect you fully to the world around us, empowered by the amazing and beautiful Holy Spirit.
Just had a sense, as I've been looking out, there are some people that just naturally knelt as they were singing this song, and I know it's been a long morning and there's been a lot of stuff, but I don't feel that we should bypass this moment now. So if this morning there are things in your life that you want to surrender, or if you just feel like, God, I'm all in. We just keep saying that in this season. It's like, God, I'm all in. I'm all in for your purposes. I'm all in for the plan that you have for my life. Then I just want to invite you to come to the front and kneel. And that's not as a way of showing us that you're committed. It's a way of showing God that you're willing to surrender to him in this season. So if that's you, just come on down. Come on down. And I just believe that there's something that Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. It's something fresh. It's a letting go and it's a receiving. So let go of those things that you need to let go of and receive the new thing that Holy Spirit wants to impart to you this morning. I'm not going to invite the prayer team or anything, and that's deliberate this morning because I just feel like this is going to be a one-on-one ministry. Just you and Jesus. It's cool. We don't need anything else this morning. Let it go, let it go. Leave it in my hands. Let it go, let it go. Surrender to my plans. I know you, I love you. I choose you now. Let it go, let it go. Leave it in my hands. Now receive, just receive my spirit. Receive, receive my power. Receive, receive the new things springing up. Receive my love. Receive my love. Receive my love. Receive. I just have a really strong sense that for some of those kneeling this morning, the thing that you're letting go of is it's an old picture. And God is just saying, like, you know, that old picture may have looked really appealing, but it's time just to hang a new picture on the wall, and I'm going to give you that picture. It's a new picture for a new season. And it because it doesn't look like how you thought it might look, it doesn't make it wrong. So just be released in knowing that. This is just unfolding revelation, just as we've had with the rock center. It's like, it's unfolding revelation. So just allow him to show you that new picture. And I just believe that this picture is just more vibrant. It's more full of life. It's more compelling than anything that you've looked at before. So just gaze into the eyes of Jesus this morning and allow anything that isn't of him, all those other shades, just to disappear. Let him frame it for you. So we surrender all, every part of us. Take our lives Thank you for those hearts that are encountering you right now and letting go of what was and receiving what is and what's to come. We just declare that the old is gone, and the new has come, and God is doing a new thing. We embrace it, Lord. You're going to give us the right wineskin for the new wine that you're about to pour out. And we know that the old just cannot contain the new thing doing. So Lord, I just want to pray protection over each one of us now, that where we're tempted to go back because the old is more comfortable and the old is more palatable, Lord, that we would just continue to put one foot in front of the other and know, Lord, that this new thing that you're doing, that's what you're calling us to. That's what you're calling us to. I just pray a blessing over each and every one this morning, Lord, whether sitting in their seat or whether down here at the front. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Give them everything that they need. Right now, your grace is more than enough. You are more than enough. And we just call in those, Lord, who are not yet here, part of this family, who are actually supposed to be here for this coming season. We receive them right now. Lord, we know that we're called to increase our nest here at Skylark Church. So, Lord, we just thank you for those that you're going to add, those that you're going to integrate seamlessly. Lord, those from our community who don't yet know you, Lord, we receive them right now, God. And Lord, we know that this is going to become a messy place to be. We're okay with that, God. We're going to be okay with the mess. We're not going to try and put everything back into its right order. Lord, we're not going to have spiritual OCD and be controlling. Lord, we just receive the broken and the hurting and the searching and the questioning. Lord, we receive them in advance because we know that they're coming. And Lord, I just pray that you would prepare us for that. Lord, that we would be a family that welcomes the new, that welcomes the new, that has open arms to embrace those that you call, even if they look different from us, even if they think differently from us, even if they behave differently from us. Lord, we want to extend that Father's embrace. Show us, Lord, how to do that. In Jesus' name.